This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside Grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Chapter 1 of our four-part series on the life of St. Paul the Apostle.
We were thought to be great teachers in those days, and perhaps we were. The word teacher can be translated to mean rabbi. I was a rabbi. My name was Gamaliel. I was middle-aged when the Nazarene walked among men. I attended his trial, witnessed his crucifixion, and rejected everything he had to teach us. I lived in an age of great miracles, and these miracles, too, I rejected. And yet, as I look back, I sometimes think that, in a sense, I was partly responsible for one of the most amazing miracles of my day. I shall go back to an evening when I sat in the courtyard of my home in Jerusalem, staring at a young man who was intent on introducing himself to me. He had journeyed a great distance to present himself to me.
As you know, I'm a Jew.
Well?
By that I meant I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews.
And you say it with all the arrogance of a Pharisee. Are you one?
I am a Pharisee.
No one will ever challenge that. Well, sit down, my son. Tell me your name.
Saul.
Of what tribe? Benjamin?
The house of Benjamin, yes.
So, you're a warrior.
From a tribe of warriors.
I would hesitate to place a sharp sword in your hand.
I carry a dagger, Rabbi, but I come to you as a student.
You wish to become a rabbi?
It is my father's choice and my wish. He said, go to the Rabbi Gamaliel, who lives in Jerusalem, and learn all there is to know about the traditions of our people. And so I am here.
A most forthright young man who honors his father.
There was something else he told me.
Oh?
He said, never in Jewish history has such terrible danger threatened our traditions.
Your father is right, my son.
And so I want to learn all you can teach me about our laws and about our traditions so that I can usefully talk about them later on.
And will you defend our culture?
I think that is what my father had in mind. He seemed to think it may need defending.
Where do you come from?
Tarsus.
In Cilicia?
Yes.
How much do you know about the law and the prophets?
I know every word by heart.
And our traditions?
I wish to study them to understand their purpose and meaning.
And so you shall, Paul.
Saul.
You must grow used to people calling you by the Greco-Roman interpretation of your name. To the Jew, you are Saul. To the non-Jew, you will be Paul. They cannot pronounce your Jewish name properly.
I've always known that, but never understood it.
Well, now tell me what you think of Jerusalem.
It's noisy and crowded.
And so you must expect wickedness here.
There is wickedness everywhere.
You'll find many pagan women here.
Rabbi, I'm a proud man, too proud to squander myself on worthless women.
There are other kinds of women, too.
And I am too dedicated to my studies and the future to think of attaching myself to a wife.
I am not sure you will please God by rejecting the idea of marriage.
I am dedicated to God, the God of Israel.
And so did I meet Paul. His knowledge of the law was astounding, his faculty for learning beyond belief. In the long months that followed, the fire that burned within his soul for Jewish culture burst into flame against the spread of Christianity.
Why are they permitted among us, these so-called Christians? They even use the synagogues to preach against us. They defile the synagogues, defile our traditions. How can you sit there so calmly and say nothing? What are we going to do?
I don't know, my son. I am an old man. It is for your generation to do whatever must be done.
Even the Romans do nothing.
And still, the Romans are wise enough not to interfere with Jewish law. Think about that, my son.
Hear me before you take me away. Hear me! For the word of Christ continues to spread across the whole world, and the numbers of his disciples increase day by day, even here in Jerusalem. And large numbers of your priests have already turned to Jesus and have accepted the faith.
Who is he?
A faker.
But a Christian.
One of those you hate, my son. A betrayer of his own people. A Jew who now violates his own synagogues. I think his name is Stephen.
It's time we made an example of one of them.
Oh, they're taking him away. They took the man, Stephen, away and tried him on the steps of the synagogue for all to witness. And they condemned him according to Jewish law. And when the trial was over, they allowed him to speak.
Let me say these things to you. What if you persecute me? Didn't you persecute the Son of Man? Haven't you always opposed the Holy Spirit? Didn't your fathers and their fathers before them put to death all the prophets who foretold the coming of Christ, whom you betrayed and murdered? You who pretend to maintain the law. Kill me if you've a mind to, but I say unto you, behold, behold, for I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.
Kill him! Kill this viper! You know the law? The law prescribes death. Put him to death!
I put him to the death!
The execution of Stephen was carried out in strict conformity to the Hebrew law. The law stated that blasphemers like Stephen should be dragged by a crowd outside the city and there stoned to death. Paul and I joined the crowd that performed the execution. The crowd started to hurl stones at Stephen. I saw him fall to his knees, his face and body now red with his own blood, as he lifted his face toward heaven.
Lord, do not lay sin against them. Lord, let me repent for them.
They're calling him a martyr.
Yes, I've heard that.
The first Christian martyr, they say.
I've heard that, too. What is it, Saul?
Today we saw a man killed. And I was one who called out for his death.
Many of us did.
He forgave us for killing him.
That bothers you?
No, I was just... Yes, it does bother me. These people, these Christians, are fanatics. They believe in their faith. It's dangerous.
Yes, most of us realize that, my son.
And each day they win more converts. You realize that, too?
We all know they are trying to undermine the synagogue. And we know a great many Jews are turning to Christianity.
And still we do nothing about it.
We did something today.
Killing one man is not enough.
What?
Killing of one Christian preacher is not going to stop the spread of this new faith.
Oh, I suppose not.
He was arrested, tried and found guilty, and he was executed. And the Romans did not interfere.
Nor did they interfere when we put the Nazarene to death.
Then we have a free hand. We're free to deal with these Christian converts. If we can kill one without the Romans interfering, we can kill them all. If we justly execute one for blasphemy, we can execute thousands. The law provides us with that right.
Thousands?
They've got to be stopped.
Rabbi, you either agree or disagree.
I agree, of course.
If we let them go on this way, they'll destroy us. They'll destroy the entire foundation of Hebrew law. You see that, Rabbi?
You make it very clear, my son.
And do you see what's happening all around us? Jewish converts to Christianity leaving Jerusalem, going to other places, and spreading their new faith. Rabbi, they've got to be stopped.
How would you stop them?
By force.
By massacre?
If they resisted arrest, it might come to that.
You would put them all in jail or kill them?
I would be rid of them in any fashion that would serve. Does the idea frighten you, Rabbi?
To execute one man is one thing. But to expose thousands of fellow human beings to massacre...
There's no difference between killing one man or killing 10,000.
There is, but I won't debate it. At least I was always right about you. You have warrior blood.
Now I think I know my mission in life. I believe my father knew it when he sent me here. He knew our law had to be defended. Rabbi, I appeal to you. You must help me.
Help you?
Speak to the elders. Make them understand our danger. Tell them to give me soldiers and authority. I must have that authority.
You mean this, don't you?
I mean every word.
I'll talk to the elders.
But talk with conviction. Tell them I will clean up Jerusalem first, then I will hunt down Christians wherever I can find them, even if I cross the world. I'll not leave a single Christian alive.
Is it hatred for the Christian you feel?
Hatred, yes. What else could it be?
It is not just an opportunity you see to possess power.
Do you believe that?
No. No, my son, I believe you're sincere. And I know you're right. I will talk to the elders. I will go before the council. I come before this council to speak of Saul, of the tribe of Benjamin. Of Saul, whose father was inspired to send him to us. Of Saul, a most brilliant student of our laws, a Pharisee by birth, and a citizen of Rome. But above all this, I speak of Saul, the warrior, with a warrior's blood that cries out for the right to defend our Hebrew traditions against our sworn enemies. I say to you, give Saul authority. Give him soldiers. Commission him to seek out those who plot against us. Give him the right to put to death those who resist his authority. Saul?
Have you talked to them?
Tomorrow you go before the council. I believe you will be approved. The council gave Saul its approval. The next day, a soldier called on my pupil.
I am Reuben. I am of your people, of the house of Benjamin.
You command a company of soldiers.
We are yours to command.
You know what our assignment is.
To defend the law most vigorously.
I have a long list of names, converts to Christianity. All of these will be arrested or killed while resisting arrest. You understand?
I would be a dull fellow not to understand.
And so began Saul's campaign against the followers of Christ. And a reign of terror spread all across the holy city. The nights and the days were filled with the screams of women and children being dragged from their homes. Many of them butchered in the streets. Hundreds fled to the hills. But Saul and his men rode after them,
hunted them down, putting them to the sword. And no one interfered, because the law of the land prescribed death for those who opposed the teachings of the synagogue. And this was the first persecution of the Christians after Christ was put to death. As Saul pitted himself against Christ in heaven, and I, and others like me, applauded him.
Why, never tasted better, Rabbi.
Well done, Saul. Well done.
Well done, indeed. Wine has the taste of blood in it.
And so the job is finished, eh?
In Jerusalem. My next target is... Yes. Yes, I think it should be diaspora. They say it's seriously infected with Christianity. Rabbi, tell me something.
Yes, my son?
You did a fine job convincing the council to give me authority. But I once heard it said, you warned the council against taking extreme measures.
My son, I am an old man. There was a moment when I thought we might use prudence, tolerance. But I was wrong. And you know I promoted your authority.
There can be no more weak moments, Rabbi. I shall move against the city of Diaspora.
And so the terror crossed the desert and struck at the Christians in the city of Diaspora. And within 2 months, Saul returned victoriously to Jerusalem. And once more I went before the council at his most urgent bidding.
The council will listen. You may proceed, Rabbi.
I come to speak of Saul, who in fact and deed is the defender of our laws and traditions. It is now his wish to move against the Christians in the city of Damascus.
Rabbi, this is a most grave request. I am not sure we wish to extend our plans outside of Palestine. There would be considerable risk in such measures.
Then I beg leave for Saul himself to address you.
Let him do so, Rabbi.
May it please the council to be reminded that Judaism is not confined within the borders of Palestine. It extends across the world. These Christian vipers are spreading out across all lands, spreading their blasphemous preachings against our culture, threatening to convert more and more of our brother Jews to their alien faith. I beg you to give me authority to move against Damascus as a beginning. When I have cleansed Damascus, I will choose the next objective. There are hundreds, perhaps thousands, of Christian converts in Damascus. Tell me to destroy them. Give me that authority.
Saul had his way. He at once ordered his henchman, Reuben, to assemble the soldiers. And next morning, the cavalcade rode out into the desert. They covered 30 miles on the first day and made camp at sundown.
You're silent, Reuben.
It's the desert.
Our adventure disturbs you?
Has it ever?
You know this to be a holy crusade.
I know it to be that.
You know something, Reuben? I curse every Christian on this earth. I curse them with my blood and my hatred. I curse the name of the Nazarene carpenter who started all this trouble against our synagogues. Did you ever see him?
Several times.
You heard him preach against God?
He always claimed he was the Son of God.
And you listened?
Thousands listened. Some believed, some didn't.
How did he speak?
Oh, with some authority. You know our people. Unless you speak with authority, they won't listen.
Did you like anything he said?
A few things. But I mostly laughed at what he said.
What did you laugh at?
He told people to drink of his blood and eat of his flesh. He'd have you believe that his blood could wash away the sins of the world.
A fanatic.
He could draw big crowds to him.
What about these apostles? Have you known any of them?
I've seen them all. At least the original 12. There are many more now.
Men like that are dangerous. We'll have to deal with them. We'll hunt them down. There's one called Peter.
A roughneck?
So I hear. I'd like to run into him. I wish I'd come to Jerusalem years ago. Well, we've only just started, eh? There's time. Time to catch up with all these vipers.
They rested on the Sabbath and rode a full 6 days. Toward the end of the sixth day of riding, they came in sight of Damascus.
Damascus in sight.
I can smell Christian blood dripping from my sword already. What about you, Reuben?
Leave me at least one Christian priest.
Oh! It happened in the fraction of a second. A blinding flash that enveloped Saul and his company of soldiers, causing them to fall to the ground in terror.
What's this? I can't see! Am I blind? Am I blind?
Saul. Saul, why dost thou persecute me?
Paul was blind, yet he saw the figure of Jesus standing nearby. Paul was not conscious of the miracle. He was conscious only of Christ. And in that moment, his hatred of Jesus died, was no more. He stretched out his hand toward Jesus.
Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.
Lord. Lord. What wilt thou have me do?
Arise and go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do.
In this manner did Saul the Pharisee die, and Paul the Apostle was born. There was nothing left of the past, and there was everything of the future to be built. But Paul was blind, and in the company of soldiers who were sworn to the task of killing all believers in Christ.